Troezen and Ioni and Epidaurus of the vineyards, they who held Aegina and Nasus, son of the Achaeans. And Aegina is an island. In fact, this is one of the islands that when you take the ACIS trip, you stop and visit. Of these, the leader was Diomedes of the great war cry with Sthenelus, own son to the high-renowned Capaneus, and with them as a third went Euryalus, a man godlike, son of Mecisteus, the king and Scion of Telaos. That is Book 2, line 566. But the leader of all was Diomedes of the great war cry. Following along with these were 80 black ships. But the men who held Mycenae, this is Mycenae, the citadel that Agamemnon is the king of, but the men who held Mycenae, the strong-founded citadel, Corinth, the luxurious, and yes, this is the Corinth of our New Testament, spelled with a K, and this is also in, this is the first appearance of the word Corinth in literature. Corinth, the luxurious, and strong-founded Cleonae, they who dwelt in Ornea, in the lovely Erythrea, and Sicyon, where of old Adrastus had held the kingship, they who held Hespersia and steep Gonaisa, they who held Pellene, and they who dwelt about Agion, all about the seashore and about the wide headland of Hylike, line 575, of their 100 ships, the leader was powerful Agamemnon, Atreus's son, with whom followed far the best and bravest people, and among them he himself stood armored in shining bronze, glorying, conspicuous among the great fighters, since he was the greatest of among them all, and led the most people. Line 580. Why is Agamemnon the greatest? Because he has the most people. This is part of a Greek, Homeric, heroic worldview. He who dies with the most toys wins, would be our modern little pithy proverb equivalent. Line 581. They who held the swarming hollow of Lake Daman, Pharos and Sparta, Sparta is the city that Menelaus is the king of, and Sparta thus is where Helen and her brothers are from, and Messi of the Dovecotes, they who dwelt in Brisei, and lovely Aguiae, they who held Emiclae and the seaward city of Helas, they who held Laos, and they who dwelt about Oitylus, line 585. Of these, his brother Menelaus of the great war cry was leader, with 60 ships marshaled apart from the others. He himself went among them in the confidence of his valor, driving them battleward, since above all his heart was eager to avenge Helen's longing to escape and her lamentations. Line 590. So we hear that poor Helen is longing to escape and lamenting. They who dwelt about Pylos and lovely Arene and Thiron, the Alpheus crossing, and strong-built Ape, they who lived in Caparisius and Amphigenii, Ptelias and Helas and Dorian, where the Muses, encountering Themirus the Thracian, stopped him from singing as he came from Oechalia and Oechalian Eurystas, for he boasted, okay, why did the Muses take his voice for him, from him? For he boasted that he would surpass if the very Muses, daughters of Zeus, who holds the Aegis, were singing against him. And those Ides, in their anger, struck him maimed, for the voice of wonder they took away, and made him a singer without memory. Of these, the leader was the Gerenian horseman Nestor, in whose command were marshaled 90 hollow vessels. They who held Arcadia under the sheer peak Kyllene, beside the tomb of Iphitus, where men fight at close quarters, they who dwelt in Orchomenus of the flocks, and Phineus, about Ripe and Stratia and Windy and Espy, they who held Tegea and Mantinea the lovely, they who held Stymphalus and dwelt about Parhasia, their leader was Anchias' son, powerful Agapenor. Line 610. 60 was the number of their ships, and in each ship went many men of Arcadia, well skilled in battle. Agamemnon, the lord of men, himself had given these for the crossing of the wine-blue sea, their strong benched vessels, Atreus' son, since the work of the sea was nothing to these men. Line 615. They who lived in Buprasian and brilliant Elis, all as much as Hymini and Myrcinus, the uttermost of the Omnian rock, and Elysium close between them. Of these there were four chieftains, and with each man 10 swift vessels followed, with many Epeian men on board them. Line 620. Of 2 tens, Thalpius and Amphimachus were leaders, of Actor's seed, sons one of Catichias, one of Eurytas. 10 more were led by Amargicus' son, Diores, and of the 4th 10, godlike Polyxenus was leader, son of the lord Agasthenes of the race of Augeas. I suppose the listener can tell that I'm mostly slaughtering the pronunciation of these names. Line 625. Those who came from Dulichion and the sacred Echini Islands, where men live across the water from Elis, Meges was the leader of these, a man like Ares, Phileus' son, whom the rider dear to Zeus had begotten. Phileus, who angered with his father, had settled Dulichion. Following along with him were 40 black ships. That was line 630. But Odysseus led the high-hearted men of Cephallenia, those who held Ithaca and leaf-trembling Neriton, those who dwelt about Crotchalia and rigid Aglips, those who held Zacanthus, and those who dwelt about Samos, those who held the mainland and the places next to the crossing. Line 635. Remember, Odysseus is the king of the island of Ithaca. All these men were led by Odysseus, like Zeus in council. Following with him were 12 ships with bows painted red. Thoas, son of Andraemon, was leader of the Aetolians, those who dwelt in Pleuron and Olenus and Pylene, Calydon of the rocks, and Calchas beside the seashore, since no longer were the sons of high-hearted Oeneus living, nor Oeneus himself, and fair-haired Melagrus had perished. So all the lordship of the Aetolians was given to Thoas. Following along with him were 40 black ships. Idomeneus, the sphere-famed, was leader of the Cretans. If you imagine this word in line 645 with a C, this is the island of Crete. The Cretans are those from the island of Crete. Those who held Cnossus and Gortina of the Great Walls, Lyctus and Miletus and silver-shining Lycastus. Now, Cnossus, in line 646, is the site of the, well, you can look it up in your glossary, is the site of the main city and the palace of those who came before the Mycenaeans. And Phaestus here in line 48, the city of Phaestus is the site of the discovery of the Phaestus disk. You can look that up in your glossary. And Rhetian, all towns well established, and others who dwelt beside them in Crete of the 100 cities. Of all these, Idomeneus, the spear-famed, was the leader. With Meriones, a match for the murderous lord of battles, following along with these were 80 black ships. Heracles' son, and we know him by Hercules, but this is Heracles. Heracles' son Tlepolemus, the huge and mighty, led from Rhodes 9 ships with the proud men of Rhodes aboard them. Those who dwelt about Rhodes and were ordered in triple division, Ilasios and Lindus, the silver-shining Chimaeras. Of all these, Tlepolemus, the spear-famed, was leader, he whom Astyochia bore to the strength of Heracles. Heracles brought her from Ephyra and the river Seleius, after he sacked many cities of strong, god-supported fighters. Line 660. Now when Tlepolemus was grown in the strong-built mansion, he struck to death his own father's beloved uncle, Licymnius, Scion of Ares, a man already aging. At once he put ships together and assembled a host of people and went fugitive over the sea, since the others threatened the rest of the sons and the grandsons of the strength of Heracles. And he came to Rhodes, a wanderer, a man of misfortune, and they settled there in triple division by tribes, beloved of Zeus himself, who is lord over all gods and all men, Cronus's son, who showered the wonder of wealth upon them. 670. Nereus from Simne led 3 balanced vessels. Nereus, son of Aglaia and the king Carapus, Nereus, the most beautiful man who came beneath Ilion, beyond the rest of the Danaans next after perfect Achilles. Line 675. But he was a man of poor strength and a few people with him. They who held Nisiros and Crafathos and Cassus and Cos, Eurypylus's city, and the islands called Calydnae, of these against Phidippus and Antiphus were the leaders, sons both of Thessalus, who was born to the Lord Heracles. Line 680. In their command were marshaled 30 hollow vessels. Now all those who dwelt about Pelasgian Argus, those who lived by Alus and Elope and Atracus, those who held Pythia and Hellas, the land of fair women, who were called Myrmidons and Hellenes and Achaeans, of all these and their 50 ships the Lord was Achilles. But these took no thought now for the grim clamor of battle, since there was no one who could guide them into close order, since he, swift-footed, brilliant Achilles, lay where the ships were, angered over the girl with the lovely hair, Briseis. That was line 689. Homer tells us that as all the men are getting ready, counting, gathering by deans and tribes, getting ready to battle, Achilles' people, the Myrmidons, will not gather and go to battle because they have no leader. Line 690. Whom after much hard work he had taken away from Lyrnessus after he had sacked Lyrnessus's and the walls of Thebe and struck down Epitrophus and Mines, the furious spearman, children of Aeneas, king and son of Salepius, for her sake he lay grieving now, but was soon to rise up. Line 695. They who held Phaleci and Parassus of the flowers, the precinct of Demeter and Eton, mother of sheep flocks, Antron by the seashore, and Teleus deep in the meadows. Of these, in turn, fighting Protesilaus was leader while he lived, but now the black earth had closed under him, whose wife, cheeks torn for grief, was left behind in Phaleci, and a marriage half completed. A Dardanian man had killed him as he leapt from his ship, far the first of the Achaeans. And so we see Protesilaus was the first to die. And we'll see that his ship will later be half burnt. Now we hear of that in Book 16, line 286. Yet these, longing as they did for their leader, did not go leaderless, but Podarces, scion of Ares. And to be a scion of Ares would be to be a son of Ares, a son of war, means you are quite the warrior. Set them in order. Line 705. A child of Iphicles, who in turn was son to Phylacus, rich in flocks, full brother of high-hearted Protesilaus, younger born. But the elder man was braver also, Protesilaus, a man of battle, yet still the people lacked not a leader, though they longed for him and his valor. Following along with Podarces were 40 black ships. They who lived by Pherae, beside the lake Boibius, by Boibi and Glaphrae and strong-founded Iolcus, of their 11 ships, the dear son of Admetus was leader. Eumelus, born to Admetius by the beauty among women, Alcestis, loveliest of all the daughters of Peleus. Line 715. They who lived about Thumaiacae and Methone, they who held Meliboea and rugged Elysian, of their 7 ships, the leader was Philoctetes, skilled in the bow's work, and aboard each vessel were 50 oarsmen, each well skilled in the strength of the bow of battle. Yet he himself, this is Philoctetes, lay apart in the island, suffering strong pains in Lemnos the sacrosanct, where the sons of the Achaeans had left him in agony from the sore bite of the wicked water snake. There he lay apart in his pain, yet soon the Argives beside their ships were to remember Lord Philoctetes. So poor Philoctetes. He had been brought by the Greeks. He'll be brought by the Greeks to Troy from Lemnos soon after the story of the Iliadians, where we end with Book 24. They'll have to go back and get poor Philoctetes and bring him, because there's a prophecy that Troy is only going to be able to be taken with his bow and arrows. And where is he? He's on the sacrosanct island of Lemnos, where the Greeks left him because he got bitten by a water snake. And where did he get his bow and arrows? Remember, every important piece of weaponry has a pedigree. Look up Philoctetes and see. His bow and arrows belonged at one time to Heracles. So who will Philoctetes strike with the arrow? Line 726. Yet these, longing as they did for their leader, did not go leaderless, but Medon, the bastard son of Oileus, set them in order, whom Rhene bore to Oileus, the sacker of cities. They who held Trichy in the terraced place of Ithome, and Oikaleia, the city of Oikalean Eurytus. Of these, in turn, the leaders were two sons of Asclepius. This great healer, of course, was the son of Apollo. Good healers both themselves, Podalerius and Machaon. In their command were marshaled 30 hollow vessels. They who held Orminius and the spring Hyperia, they who held Asterion and the pale peaks of Titanus, Eurypylus held these, the shining sun of Euaemon. Following along with him were 40 black ships. They who held Argissa and dwelt about Girtani, Orthi and Eloni, and the white city, Aleusen. Of these, the leader was Polypoetes, stubborn in battle, son of Peritheus, whose father was Zeus, immortal. And who, in line 740, of these, the leader was Polypoetes. These is referring to the Lapiths. Continuing 742, he whom glorious Hippodameia bore to Peritheus on that day when he wreaked vengeance on the hairy beast men. Who are the hairy beast men? See book 1, line 263 to 272. The hairy beastmen, and drove them from Pelion and hurled them against Ithaces. Not by himself, for Leontius was with him, Scion of Ares, line 745. Leontius, son of high-hearted Caranus, the son of Caeneus. Look up Caeneus. Following in the guidance of these were 40 black ships. Gunnius from Caithus led 22 vessels, and the Aeneians and the Perhebaeans, stubborn in battle, followed him. They who made their homes by wintry Dodona, and they who by lovely Titarissus held the tilled acres, Titarissus, who into Peneus casts his bright current. Yet he is not mixed with the silver whirls of Peneus, but like oil is floated along the surface above him, since he is broken from the water of Styx, the fearful Oath River. The Styx is a fearful Oath River. Line 756. Prothous, son of Tenthredon, was leader of the Magnesians, those who dwelt about Peneus and leaf-trembling Pelion. Of these, Prothous the swift-footed was leader.